We are studying together these days the book of Ephesians. And as we continue in this series of studies, we pray that the Spirit of God will make very precious and very real to you the wonderful truths that are in Christ Jesus. Do you know, I am more and more amazed at the revelation that God has given to us in His Word. And I would indeed that His people might read and reread the Word of God so that their very lives, not only their minds, but their very lives will be filled with the Word of God. You know, I remember those verses from David when he said in the 119th Psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Then remember the words of concerning our Savior in the first Psalm, what he said, "And in his word did he meditate day and night." And that prophetical picture in the 40th Psalm, where it is said, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, for thy word is in my heart." And one could follow along on this one question of the Word of God. Please read it and reread it. It'll keep your life clean. It'll knit you together in Christ. It'll cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And just as we have to feed babies and young people and boys and girls, and they grow normally, it's true they go through certain phases of life, and sometimes we wish the phases would hurry up and get through it. That's true. But we expect to see a normal growth with normal experiences. Likewise in the spiritual life. If we do not feast ourselves upon the Word of God, we do not grow. And you remember that the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes, he said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good." So as we continue our studies in the book of Ephesians, we're praying that the Lord may take the word and make it very precious to your heart. Now we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read three verses, the last three verses of chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, I'd love to have you just read along with us. And whether you're drinking coffee or just taking a time of relaxation, read together with me from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. When Paul said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And we've been dealing in our past lessons with the walk of the new man in Christ, and things that we ought to avoid doing. You remember the list from verse 25 right on down through, verse 25 to 29, and then verse 31, the things we should not do. I'm not going to go over them again except to ask you to read it. And then in verse 31, we see the things that grieve the Spirit of God. For verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." And the things that grieve the Spirit of God among God's people are what you have from verse 25 on. Put away lying, do not bear a grudge, and do not lose control of yourself. Do not allow Satan to have an opportunity to deceive you or to affect you in your life. Hence, do not bear a grudge and don't nurse your anger and try and be reconciled to your brother. And then you have the true motive for labor, for the purpose of giving to somebody else. And let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let it be used, the use of edifying, and not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And put away all bitterness, all irritability, and sourness, and wrath, and resentment, and hostility the one to the other. And put away all foul slander and vicious disposition. We have these in verse 31. Now, these are the things that grieve the Spirit of God. Remember again what we said a while ago, that the old man, that which we were in Adam, was evidenced by corruption and deceitful lusts. But the new man in Christ is evidenced by righteousness and holiness. The one is corrupt, the other is righteous. And if I claim to belong to Christ, then my life should not manifest the corruption of the old, but we should do those things that please Him. Now look at verse 30 for a few moments. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We mentioned in the very first chapter of Ephesians, allow me to reread it again, where you have three times in the New Testament this question of us being sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. The other passage is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, that on believing we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, we were sealed. And then, will you notice, please, again, this has to do with preservation. May I be allowed to repeat what we said in the first chapter concerning the Spirit of God? The moment a person accepts the Savior, the moment I have a real relationship to Christ, that very moment I not only am redeemed and a child of God, but my body and your body becomes a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. He comes to indwell us. And we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And we're born of the Spirit. These four things, to be sealed, to be baptized, to be indwelt, and to be born of the Spirit, this is what God does. Let me put it this way. This is what God does. Now, I'm talking about those who've really accepted the Savior, who have put their trust in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They've had a real relationship with the Lord, a real transaction. You've really, as best you know how, you took Christ as your own personal Savior. That very moment, you were born of the Spirit, and that speaks of relationship. And then we were sealed by the Spirit, and that speaks of preservation. And then we were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and that speaks of our union with Him. And then we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You remember Jesus said in John 14, the Spirit of God is with you and He shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. In other words, our bodies become the temples of the Holy Spirit, as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when we think of these things, this has to do with the revelation of the character of God in His people. This was the appeal of Paul to the Corinthian church. Because of their looseness of living, he reminded them that their bodies were the sanctuaries of God, that the Holy Spirit indwelled them. And this being so, then their lives ought to manifest something of the character, love, and grace of God. So we have it here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You see, He's a person. The Spirit of God is not an influence. He's a real person, real personality. And He lives in you, and He can be grieved. He can lead you in your life. He can empower you. As the Apostle Paul could say, for example, in Colossians 1:29, I strive according to the working of Him who worketh in me mightily. Or you take that passage we had some weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is the Spirit of God who indwells the believer. He's a real personality, and He can be grieved. He can empower you. He can guide you, as John 16 says. Jesus said He would guide us into all truth. He would show us things to come. In other words, that when you and I yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, this one who indwells us will manifest through us something of the glories of Christ. So here in Ephesians 4:30, he talks about this wonderful fact, having been preserved in Christ until or unto the day of redemption. You remember the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Philippians 1:6 when he said, He which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Romans 13:11, where Paul says, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:5 could say that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto His salvation, yet to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5. Now, if you take these verses, you'll realize, as you have it, for example, if I may continue, in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25, you have the whole passage there on the redemption of the body. And we have been sealed by the Spirit of God until or unto the day of redemption. Well, now someone's going to say, well, Mr. Mitchell, aren't you redeemed already? Yes. Yes, I am redeemed. I've been redeemed from sin, from judgment, from death. And that word redeemed means to be set free because of the payment of a price. But it also includes my body. You see, when Christ died for you and me, he died for the whole man. You take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, when Paul says, now the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Again, I declare to you today the marvel of it all, that when Christ died for you and me, he died for the whole man. And he will not be satisfied until you and I stand in his presence conformed to his image. And that means that the very body is going to be redeemed. Now, we'll continue this further in our lesson, our next lesson, because I want to finish this chapter of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I want to close today urging you to remember that you can live today in anticipation of the day when our Lord shall come. He may come today. When your own body, when your body will be redeemed, that is, it will be transformed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible, you'll be just like the Savior. My, what a prospect. Won't you live today in anticipation of that and enjoy Christ today in your own heart and life? And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.